Now I see grace. Good morning. Good morning. Come on in. I want to begin this morning by reading a couple of verses from a book that the Apostle Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians. These verses are from chapter 12. They are verses 7 through 9. This is what Paul said. To keep me from being puffed up with pride because of the many wonderful things I saw, I was given a painful physical ailment to beat me and keep me from being proud. 3 times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, my grace is all you need. God said no to Paul. Paul said, take it away. God said no. Sometimes God says no. Would you pray with me? Father, we bow before you now, grateful for the things and people we celebrated over Thanksgiving. Now we come to you realizing all the blessings we enjoyed this week on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every blessing we enjoy, every moment of every day comes from you. And we thank you. God, you are already here. Help our minds, our souls, our spirits to be in tune with you as we worship you through song, through your word, through response. Bless us now, Father, and we bless you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kevin, isn't it good having all three pastors here for a change?
What's that?
Isn't it good having all three pastors here for a change?
I kind of like me and Jason just fine, but
okay.
Good to have you back. This is the guy who ripped me off for $100. So,
John Peters,
John, we're
getting
kidding.
No respect.
We love you, brother. We need you. All right. Well, that last song, you know, we all come to church. We have different needs. God wants to bless us in different ways. But that last song, Jason, that's one I needed, man. Can you sing it again next week? Next week? The week after? Can you sing it every week? All right. It is good to be here. According to Kids Health, babies understand the word no between 8 and 12 months of age. And when we say no to a baby, chances are they will stop what they're doing and they'll look at us. What a baby will do. The average toddler hears the word no an astonishing 400 times a day. 382 times they do what they wanted to do anyhow. A teenager is told thousands of times a week no, but apparently doesn't hear a single one of them. Sometimes God says no to us. He wants to bless us, but sometimes we think what we think will bless us doesn't fit in with God's plan for our lives. So sometimes he simply says no. Now, how do we handle that? How do we handle our prayers going before God and God looking down in his love and his grace and his mercy and says to us, Kevin, no. So today I want to entertain that. I'm going to talk about when God says no. No, I hope you received a bulletin on the way in. Take your outline out if you would. If you have a pen or pencil, you can fill in the blanks as we go by. Now, God wants us to hear the answers to the prayers we give to him. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we are told to ask God. Ask and you will receive. Ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. And if you read some of those types of verses, it sounds like prayer is an open credit line, that anything we ask for is ours. But the fact is, while God does answer every prayer, he doesn't always answer the prayer the same way we want him to answer the prayer. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says this, call to me, this is God talking, and God says, call to me, and I will answer you. Underline those two words, will answer. God will answer. But just because he always answers doesn't mean he always says yes. There are times he says no. We can see this in Job. Look at the verse there, Job chapter 30, verse 20, where Job says, I call to you, O God, but you never answer. When I pray, you pay no attention. You ever felt that way? It's okay to be frustrated with God and to let God know how you feel and what you think. So what's the problem here? When Jesus said, ask anything in his name and it would be given to us, is that false advertising? Is God just teasing us? The fact is that God always answers our prayers. He just doesn't answer them in the way we'd like him to sometimes. Now let me give you the three answers to prayer that God gives us. Sometimes God says, yes. And we like that, right? God, can I have this? Can I go there? Will you heal my friend? Will you do this? Will you? And God says, yes. And we're like, yes. That's so good. Sometimes God says, not yet, or wait. We don't like this one quite as much because we don't like to wait. Does anybody out there have the gift of wait? We all probably don't. We get frustrated. We don't want to wait. We want it now. But a delay isn't a denial. It's simply a not yet in due time. Sometimes God says, no. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to give that to you. No, I'm not going to place this in your life. No, I'm not going to heal that. The Bible is full of examples where God said no to people. Abraham prayed that Ishmael would be the son of blessing, and God said no. King David had a young boy who was ill, and he asked God to heal the son, and God said no. We sometimes get into a mental, theological dilemma. We say to ourselves, if God is loving and he cares about me and he cares about us and he has the power to do anything he wants to do, then how come when I ask him to solve my problems, he doesn't? Think of it this way as a parent. Do you give your children everything they ask for? No. I don't know a parent who ever did that. Why? Because you dislike them? Because you want to frustrate them? No, it's because you love them. And when God says no to us, it's because he loves us. It's because he cares for us. It's because he can see a bigger picture that we can't see. When God says no, he says it out of love. Now, why does God sometimes say no? Fill this in. One of the times God says no, one of the reasons is because God has a bigger perspective. God sees the whole picture, and we don't. He has a larger viewpoint, a wider vision of our lives, of his plan, taking everything and everyone into consideration. God can see in the past, he sees in the present, and he can see into the future, and we can't. And this is one of the reasons God sometimes says no, because he sees something that we can't see. He understands something that we couldn't understand. Look at this verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. It says, God knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. He knows everyone, everywhere, everything about us. We're bare, we're wide open to the all-seeing eyes of God. God knows all. God sees what is hidden to us. We don't always know what the consequences of our choices would be, but God knows. And if we could see life the way God sees it, we'd have very few problems. We'd always know the right things to say, the right places to go, the right time to do something. It's like the movie Groundhog Day. Anybody seen that movie? We're kind of like the movie. We watch it over and over and over again. Bill Murray, the character he plays, before he understood, he didn't get it. He didn't know why this was happening, why she said no and slapped. He didn't get all that. But eventually, it clicked. And he woke up the next day, the alarm went off. I think it was at 6 a.m., is that right? He got out of bed, started his day, and he knew where to be every time, at what time he was prepared to help those people, right? God sees life that way. He already knows everything. And it's from that perspective that God sometimes says no. We have a very limited perspective. When we put a prayer up to God, a request before God, we set off a whole chain of events, the implications of which can affect even the next generation. And God knows all of that. And when he sees that in answering our prayers the way we want him to, we don't know the implications of that for other people. But God says, I know, therefore my answer to you this time is no. Look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8. God guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Sometimes God says no to protect us from unforeseen problems. We don't see them because we don't see what's coming around the bend. And we say, God, let me get that job. Let me marry that person. Let me win the lottery. I'll tithe. That's my prayer. I don't care if I win or do you win it. If you'll tithe, we'll be in good shape. All right? And God says, you have no idea of the implications of that decision that you're asking me to do this way. You don't understand. He says, you don't get it. But God understands. God gets it. He wants to protect us. So sometimes he simply says no. No. Can you think of times you're glad that God said no to you? If you've ever gone to a 15, 20, or 25-year high school reunion, I know you're grateful that God said no to you about some things. Because that great big hunk of a guy you wanted to marry is now a big fat hunk of balding goo. And you go, thank God I didn't marry him. And that babe you wanted to marry isn't so babelicious anymore, is she? Sometimes God says no because he has a much bigger perspective. Another reason God says no, it's because he has a better plan. Fill that in. God has a better plan. God wants to meet your request, but plans to do it in the way that you could not imagine. God has better ideas about how to answer our prayers, so sometimes he says no because of the better plan that's coming. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, it says this, "This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours, for my ways are higher than your ways." That verse makes me thank God that sometimes he says no, because what we thought wouldn't work out, God says, no problem, I've got it. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I've got it. Underline the word ways in that verse, by the way. God said, for my ways, not my way, but my ways. Notice that the word is in the plural, and God always has more than one way of doing things. He has unlimited alternatives. We don't. Sometimes God says no to this way because he has a different way, a better way. For example, if you ask God to meet your financial need, he could do it in several different ways. He could increase your income decrease your expenses. He could make what you have last longer so you don't have to buy new things. He could give you a gift. He has a lot of ways he could do that. Sometimes he says no because he has a better plan. Our problem is we not only want to tell God what we want, we also want to tell him when we want it, how we want it packaged, and when we want it delivered. And God says, uh-uh. Nada. No. And many times, the way we want things to work out is the easy way. I like the easy way. A lot of times, the easy way isn't what helps us grow the best, the deepest, the way we really need to grow. There's a verse in a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. It says, these were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. Commended for their faith, they didn't get what was received, what they'd been promised, because why? God had a better plan, something better. Remember Daniel? Daniel in the Old Testament was told to worship a foreign god. To save his life, all he had to do was worship a foreign god, and he said no. He wouldn't do it. They said, hey, we're going to throw you into a den of lions, hungry lions. They hadn't been fed for a couple of days. Daniel said, I'm not going to pray to a false god. And I'm sure he prayed, God, don't let me get thrown into that den of lions. And God said, no, Daniel, that's not what I'm going to do. And they put him in there. God didn't answer Daniel's prayer the way Daniel wanted it answered. He'd answered in a better way because he kept the lions' mouths closed all night long. So Daniel was never attacked. God had a better way. I'm grateful that God has said no to some of my prayers. After my freshman year in college, what was to be my last summer at home, I knew I would never be home again in the summertime. I had to get a job, so I went to Glidden Paint Factory in Curtis Bay, Maryland, not far from where I lived. Interviewed. They said, you're hired. I said, what? That's great. I was going to shovel iron ore all day long, but I was built back then. And I was going to make, you got to understand, way back then, I was going to make a whopping $10 an hour. I would have been rich by the end of the summer. I was living off my grandmom so I could just save all my money. So I had to take a physical. After the physical, they called me in and they said, well, Kevin, we can't hire you because you failed the physical. I'm like, dude, that's not possible. And they said, yeah, you have a condition called spondylolisthesis. I couldn't even pronounce that word. Way down in the lower part of my spine, there was a disc that was like just a little, maybe just a tiny bit out of line. And they said, there's five stages. You have stage one, which basically means you don't even have it, but you have stage one. And chances are in your life, it will never affect you. And it hasn't. But I couldn't get hired. Because of that, I was devastated. I needed a job. I couldn't find a job anywhere until I saw an advertisement for a Good Humor ice cream driver. You ever seen them white trucks? Jingle bells, jingle bells. So I went there, was hired by them, but the problem was I was just a part-time driver. And it was 45 minutes from where I lived to get to the job. And once I got there, because I was just part-time, I didn't always get a chance to go out because if everybody else showed up, I had to go back home with no pay, 90 miles round trip. Finally, I started going out, and they gave me my own route, Eastern Shore, right a ways from Baltimore, but I loved it. And the kids, man, you know how it was. The kids, they'd just be running behind. You know what they were running for, right? What? But what kind of ice cream? Free. They had no money. They wanted free ice cream. And if I gave out free ice cream, guess who had to pay for it? And I wasn't making that much. And God gave me this idea. Kevin, you have this crowd of kids all over the miles you drive. You know them now. Why don't you take some Bibles on your ice cream truck? So I did. I got some Bibles from the church. They didn't charge me. I didn't ask. I didn't tell I was taking them. I just took the Bibles. God didn't say no. And I handed out Bibles literally to hundreds of kids that summer. Told them about God and his love for them. God turned my dismal, good humor ice cream truck job into a joyous ministry. I'm glad God said no. He had a better plan. I wanted a job. God gave me a ministry. I wanted to make money. God wanted these kids to get saved, to become his children. God wanted to grow my faith, to trust his ways when I couldn't see what they are. The Apostle Paul planned to go to Rome and preach the gospel. It's what he always wanted to do. I think his plans were to go to the Colosseum and hold a crusade, kind of like what Billy Graham did. But God had other plans. Instead of going to the Colosseum, God let Paul go to prison. But do you know what Paul did in prison that he could never have done in the Colosseum? He wrote 75% of the New Testament while he was in prison. And if he'd gone to the Colosseum, that wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have had our Bible the way we have it now. Not only that, God let Paul go to prison where he was chained to the Praetorian Guard. The Praetorian Guard were the guards who guarded Nero himself. They were the most elite people under Nero in Rome at that time. And Paul was literally chained to one of those guards. Every 12 hours, they changed it to another Roman leader. Every 12 hours, they put a new guard on him. So God let Paul go to prison in Rome. He let Nero foot the bill. And he was chained to a different guard, a future leader of Rome. And if he was chained to a different guard every shift for 2 years, he would have witnessed to 4,380 different guards, who after a 12-year term would be set out in Rome at a very high level, and Paul knew them. These palace guards had an inside route to the emperor, and in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, look what it says. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Did you get that? God told Paul no. And some of Caesar's family members, because of that, some of them got saved. It's this chain reaction. Paul was in chains and he had a chain reaction that he could never have imagined. That's good stuff. Another reason God says no, number three, because he has a greater purpose. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, God says this, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. God's purpose will stand. And God is not obligated to explain everything he's doing. Have you noticed that? God's doing some things in your life and he doesn't have to tell you why. He doesn't have to explain it to you. He doesn't need to check in with us to get our approval before he takes action. Now, God doesn't cause everything in life. He doesn't. There are people out there who sin and they make a choice to sin. Satan is involved in all that. God doesn't do everything that happens in the world, though he's still in control. And God uses everything in life still for his overarching purpose. And he's saying no to our prayers because maybe it fits in with something better that God knows about that we don't yet understand. Look what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Paul said, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Many times we ask questions, "God, why does this child have to suffer? Where are you, God? Where are you when my child suffers?" Same place he was when his son was suffering through his beatings and his death on the cross. Remember, the night before Jesus died, he prayed that if there was any way that God would take the crucifixion away from him, "God, please take it away," Jesus said. "Take it away. I don't want it." And God told Jesus, "No. I'm not taking it away." Why? For the greater purpose of saving humanity. God let his son die so everyone else could have a chance to live eternally in heaven. God had a greater purpose. And sometimes that's why he says no. If you're going to be somewhat happy in life, you need to understand that there are some things in life you're never going to understand. Have you come to that conclusion yet? Look what Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says. "There are some things the Lord our God has kept secret." Do you know God has secrets? Things he knows that we don't know yet. So when you hear God saying no, make an adjustment in your prayers. Thank him for the answer and make an adjustment in your attitude and your behavior and pray for more of God's grace for your life, your circumstance, because that's how you live when God says no. But have you noticed children don't take the answer no very well? "Can I have that?" "No." They get mean, they start whining, they start crying. I've seen adults like that. We don't like the answer no. But when you learn to grow and handle the no's of life, it's a mark of maturity. When God says no to your prayers and you accept it and you trust him. So let me give you a couple things to remember when God says no. First of all, remember this. If God gives you a no, remember that everything God does is motivated by his love. It's motivated by God's love. And this is very important to remember. Psalm 25, verse 10 says, "All the ways of the Lord are loving." Not just some, but all the ways of God are loving. Whenever God says no to your prayer, Satan likes to step in and say, "If God were so loving to you, then why didn't he say yes? Why did he say no? Why didn't he give you what you asked for? If God has the power to change and if he loves you, then why isn't he answering your prayers now? Why isn't he helping you out of your circumstances, your situation that you're in?" When Satan tells you that, you just need to remember that Satan is a liar. And he never opens his mouth except when he's lying. Did you ever hear that saying, if his mouth is open, he's lying? If his mouth is open, he's gossiping. If his mouth is open, he's not telling the truth. That's Satan. Everything God does is motivated by his love. Don't ever forget that. "God, I don't understand it. I don't care for this. It's frustrating. I don't see how I'm ever going to get through it. But God, I trust you because you're a God of love. And I don't understand your love all the time, but I trust you." Romans 8:28. In everything, God works for the good of those who love him. In everything, God is working, even when he says, "Help me out now." No. It's a one-word sermon. You ought to walk away with this one, right? And you're going, no, no, no. Well, to remember when God says no, everything God does is motivated by love. And number two, God always gives us grace when he says no. Some things in life are never going to change no matter how much you pray about them because God has a greater purpose. Paul had to learn this. Paul had a handicap. He called it his thorn in his flesh. Something physical, we think, happened with Paul. We don't know if it was epileptic issues, if there were issues in some of his major organs. We don't know. Maybe there were some mental. We don't know, but Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He had a handicap. There were things he couldn't do. And he prayed to God over and over and over that God would take this from him because Paul was thinking, if I could get rid of this, I could do more for God's kingdom. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. In weakness. We talked about this last several Sundays, brought up how God uses our weaknesses. He uses weak people. He works through us. Paul said, I asked God three times to take it away. He said, my power is perfected in your weakness, Paul. All by his grace. Grace is God's power to handle the situation. When we are at our weakest, that's when God's power can be made perfect through us. Sometimes God won't say yes, but he will always give you enough grace to be used by him when he says no. God's grace is sufficient. What an understatement. God has an overabundance of grace for you, for every situation you're in at any given moment of your life. And he'll give you grace upon grace upon grace to continue on, to grow, to make it through, to learn, to be used by him to bless other people that you don't know are going to be blessed through you in those kinds of ways. Anybody here might have a guess about how many grains of sand are in the world? I don't mean down at Folly. I don't even mean in North Myrtle Beach. How many grains of sand are in the world? Now, this is what the scientists tell us. There are 7 quintillion 500 quadrillion grains of sand in the world. That is a 7 and a 5 followed by 17 zeros. That's how many. How many gallons of water are in the ocean? Any guesses? The oceans around the world, how many gallons of water? 352 quintillion, 670 quadrillion. That's 352, 670, followed by 16 zeros. How many stars in the known universe? 70 sextillion, 7 followed by 21 zeros. Would you think that's a lot? If you added all that up, your little calculator would just burn. It would just combust. And yet the Bible says that God's grace is bigger than all these numbers together. You could empty the oceans of water and sand and pluck every star from the sky, and God's grace has just gotten started. That's how his grace is. Gives us sufficiency in life when we are weak, especially when he says, what? No. Now, there are three ways you can respond to you when God says no. You can resist God's answer of no and say, hey, if that's the kind of God he is, then I don't want to have anything to do with him. You can do that. You can turn your back and walk away in anger to God. I've done that before. I understand. I get it. Or you can resent it. You can fill your life with bitterness and you can doubt God's love for you forever. Always second-guessing God. Why? 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 I've done that before. But the best response is to trust God. Thankfully, by His grace, I've done that before too. That's what I'm doing now. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know the Lord, trust Him. God is in control. God does love you. He wants what is best for you. So trust Him. You're frustrated? Fine, I understand. Be frustrated, but also trust God. You think there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and maybe right now there isn't, but you trust God. And when God says no, what do? You trust God. When has God said no to you? Maybe He's saying no to you now. In what ways has He said no to you, and has it caused you to trust Him? How have you responded to God when He said no? And most importantly, how are you responding to God now when He may be saying no? How will you respond to Him at another point in time in your life when He says no? Because He will. He'll say no again. Love this church, Grace Point. We're excited about what God's doing here. Just look around. I mean, we got almost a whole church full here. But we have bigger and better, not bigger and better. This is the most important. We're going to change things around. We're going to spruce it. It's going to be incredible. And I'm guessing at some point in time, pastors, church members, we have ideas and we want to do this and we think this is great. God's going to say what? No. That's all right. We'll trust God's timing. We'll trust God's ways. We'll trust God's people. We'll trust God. Would you pray with me, please? God, You are good. There is nothing that isn't good. There is nothing that isn't great about You. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way to us, but You are good. And one of the good things You do for us is to say yes. And one of the good things You do for us is when You say no. God, may You grow us through those times You say no. May You challenge us through those times You say no. May You help us to trust You more, to know that Your grace will get us through, to know that You're teaching us new things, and to know that You're probably going to do something in a better way, and that's why You said no. God, give us grace to be patient and trust so we cling to You and not walk away from You. And God, if You say no now and say no for the rest of our days of our lives, may we, when we get there, look back and say, we've trusted You even through all the no's. Now, God, that's really good news. I want to be excited about that. Not just when You say yes, but when You say no, because it means something's coming around the bend that's better than we expected. We could never have seen it, but You know it because You are God. Now bless our time, Lord, of response. I'm sure all of us have a response to this in our minds, our hearts, our experiences, what we're going through, what we might go through tomorrow. Speak to us now, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I've never asked this question before, Kevin, but I'm going to ask it. Somebody might say, no, don't do it, but yes, I'll do this. How many of you filled out every blank on that outline? I've never asked this before. Oh, look at that. Kevin, look around, man. That's pretty. I did. Matter of fact, that's what I was going to say. I not only keep the actual outline, I have a separate outline of things that jump out at me. And I've got two of them right here. Babylicious. That's a new word, man. No church in the world had that word today except Grace Point, all right? Second one, this reminded me of a problem. We have a lot of Bibles that have been missing, Jason. And we may be taking a special offering, but if you have any clues on who that might be, no, matter of fact, if you don't have a Bible, take one with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, take one. You can have them. Now for the real announcements. Number one, if you saw the little outline there, in the outline there's a grace, I call them the grace poinsettias. Is that good? Like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The poinsettias, I don't know how much. Lori, how much are they? There you go. You got that? So fill that out if you'd like to do that. Also, you don't want to come to church and just sit here and participate. You want to participate in ministry. There's an angel tree out in the hallway. We are helping out families that don't have enough to get a full Christmas this year. Four different families. There are little tags on the tree. You can go buy them, get one of those tags. Go to the store and get that item. We'll give you instructions. Don't wrap it up. We have a wrapping party to take care of that, but you can pick those up out in the hall. Number three, how many kids were back there today, Lori?
Oh my God, we have 14. Yay.
14 kids. So that means we might need somebody else to step up and help us in the children's ministry too. So don't say no, all right? Pray as we go today. Lord, thank you for this message. Remind us that you are there every step of the way to help us, guide us, lead us, and protect us. Lord, we thank you for this time. Bring us back together to worship you. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.